Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you today. So thankful for your presence and so thankful for the opportunity we've already had to lift our voice in praise to God as well as share in the memorial feast of our Lord. And as always, it is a fulfilling thing and an encouraging thing to have brothers and sisters in Christ who share such an important heritage, who share such important faith. And as always, I hope that as we open God's Word this morning, that we'll be encouraged and strengthened in our commitment to the Lord. Today, we're going to continue our study of the examples of zeal. This year, we're having a theme. Once a month, we are looking at different characters in the Bible who demonstrate something about zeal to us. And my hope is, as we look at these examples, we recognize that whatever point in life that we might be in ourselves, we can be zealous for the Lord. And we've looked at Moses, who was zealous even though inadequate, felt inadequate. We looked at David, who had a zeal in facing giants. And this morning, we're going to look at Caleb, who I'm going to say demonstrates an ageless zeal. Where do you expect to find zeal? Normally, when we think of zeal, we think of zeal as something that is present in the youth. Then over time, reality sort of sets in. Sorrow, disappointment, those sort of things are experienced, and zeal just sort of languishes and dissipates. In fact, you think about the book of Ecclesiastes. In one of the most encouraging verses of that book, we are told to remember the Creator in the days of your youth. And you're to remember the Creator in the days of your youth before what? Before the evil days set in. And I believe that for many people, the older you get, sometimes evil days or an evil outlook, just sort of a dark gloom, can become the reality in which you view the world that you live in. And so long ago, maybe I had zeal, but now that's long gone. The passion has disappeared. It's youthful exuberance, right? It's not old age exuberance. Those are qualities that are expected of the young, but not of the old. Well, I want to encourage you, if you see yourself as past your prime, to see that there are opportunities and battles that you are still fighting. The Lord's church, in fact, needs seasoned warriors to continue their passion as long as their strength enables them to do so. And so as we consider Caleb this morning, if you would put yourself, and you're allowed to do this, I'm not putting anyone in any category, but if you would put yourself in the young category, I want you to see Caleb as someone you can aspire to be. And if you would put yourself in the older category, I want you to see Caleb as demonstrating the opportunities that are still present in your life. You can still be zealous for the Lord. And so let us consider Caleb. Now, we just read Joshua 14. That will be our main text, but I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. This is where we're going to begin. Numbers chapter 13 is really when we're introduced to Caleb. And the first point that I would like to make is that Caleb had a lifetime of faith. He made decisions that prepared him for what our brother just read for us just a moment ago, his zeal later in life. And the reason that Caleb had zeal later in life is because he made decisions earlier in life that put him on that trajectory where he would one day demonstrate the spirit that he demonstrated in Joshua chapter 14. And of course, in Numbers chapter 13, we have different men being chosen as 12 men, one from each tribe, who are being chosen to be sent out to spy out the land of Canaan. And among those men, these leaders, we find in verse 6, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And so Caleb was chosen out to spy the land of Canaan. And what this says about Caleb is he had distinguished himself as a leader. Now, do you know what the name Caleb means? Of course, I know there are some who have named their child Caleb. They're shaking their heads, yes. The name Caleb actually means dog. Means dog. Now, in our society, what is a dog? Well, a dog is a faithful one. And so that's often what this term is connected to. But I'll tell you that was not the case for the Jews. A dog was a scavenger. It was not man's best friend. And so he has kind of an interesting name. Maybe not a name that you would expect among a leader. Well, not only is that his name, but he's a part of the clan of Judah. But did you notice who his father was? His father is named Jephunneh. And in our passage in Joshua 14 that Brother Julius just read for us a little bit ago, he's actually a Kenizzite. And so what is a Kenizzite? Well, a Kenizzite was a descendant of Esau. And so apparently, Caleb, one parent was a Kenizzite, his dad, and I'm guessing his mom was from Judah. And so, you know, again, not the one that you would expect to be a leader in among the 12 tribes of Judah. But this man who was a Kenizzite, half a descendant from Esau, whose name meant dog, had risen to be a leader among the tribe of Judah. And I think that's significant. At least there seems to be what might have apparently been a challenge to Caleb, but Caleb did not let where he, you know, something about his birth or something about his name stop him from being the leader that God had called him to be. And of course, we know a lot about the story of the 12 spies who were sent into the land of Canaan. All of them went in. They saw the beautiful land. It was surely a land flowing with milk and honey. They brought back grapes that they had to carry on poles on their shoulders. And you know, the fruit of the land was beautiful. But then, of the 12 spies, 10 spies gave a bad report. And as the 10 spies gave the bad report, the heart of the people melted. But it was in those circumstances that in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, Caleb speaks up. And of course, Caleb is ready. Caleb wants them to take the land, and he knows that they can. And so at the end of all this story, as the nation was going to be judged because everyone lost faith, this is what God says of Caleb. But now my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. And so... so as all that generation, they're going to die in the wilderness. Joshua, of course, is going to lead them in. And Caleb, because he followed the Lord fully. And I think that's about maybe the best thing you can say about a person. Is if they follow God when everybody else loses faith. And that's something that's repeated about Caleb. It's repeated about Caleb in Numbers 32:12. As well as Deuteronomy 1, 35 and 36. That was the character of Caleb. He remained true to the Lord. He remained able, or he remained trusting to the Lord. Again, when everybody else lost heart. And I would say Caleb did this because he saw the world with faithful eyes. He saw the world with faithful eyes. That was the spirit of Caleb. God said we could take this land, and we can take it. There's no need, we do not need to fear giants. We do not need to fear heavily fortified cities, because God has spoken and God has given us this land. And again, that wasn't easy for everyone else to see. They saw the challenges. They saw all the reasons why they were doomed to fail, but Caleb saw the world through faithful eyes. And so, for those, again, who have put themselves in the young category, if you see the world like Caleb did today, it will prepare you for greater acts of faith tomorrow. God will do beautiful and wonderful things in the lives of those who choose to serve the Lord and continue to serve Him throughout all of their days. You know, there is a such thing as late life conversions, and we are thankful to God that He is so merciful that a person who comes to Him in what we might call the 11th hour is welcomed into His vineyard. However, more often than not, we become more set in our ways as we age. And it's rare for one to determine not to serve God throughout all their youth to then passionately serve God in their old age. And so what I'm encouraging you today is to start seeing the world like Caleb saw the world. Start seeing the world with faithful eyes. Start committing yourself to the Lord even when everyone else loses faith. Because what we're going to see in Caleb's age comes as a result of determining to courageously serve God and live a lifetime full of faith. And so now, turn back to Numbers chapter 14, or actually Joshua 14, and we fast forward 45 years. And so Caleb would have been 40 years old in Numbers 13 and 14. Now, when we come to him in Joshua chapter 14, he has aged for 45 years. And, you know, Caleb, as we're going to see, he's going to finish, I don't know if this is inappropriate to say, but he's going to finish stronger than he started. Maybe I should say he's going to finish just as strong as he started. But in a time in his life, at 85 years old, where maybe he might have thought about settling down, you know, leave the work for the younger generation, those who are more equipped to fight the battles, we find Caleb still ready to fight in the Lord's army. And for the child of God, certainly there are going to be changes in our life which are going to affect our abilities, but there should never be a point where we feel like the work is behind us. You know, there should never be a time where we think the good days are past, the best opportunities, if there are any, they're just few. We're just here in this state of life to simply wait out our days. And what Caleb shows us is that is not true. There is work to do. There are tremendous contributions that those who age have the opportunity to contribute to God's people. There are battles to fight. And there are battles that when you step up to fight, the young generation has the opportunity to witness and see how battles ought to be fought. There are needs in the kingdom of God that you can meet. Your service and your commitment is valuable and needed. Now in Joshua chapter 14, they are in the process of dividing up the promised land. Now, the land is not yet completely conquered. They're going to divide up the land, and the next step is for the children of Israel to finish the job and take their portion that God had given them. And so in Joshua 14:1, we read, "Now these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel, appointed to them for an inheritance." And so, again, they're going to take the land, they're going to divide it up, they're going to place each nation, or place each tribe where it belongs, and then they are to finish the job. And Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun are overseeing this. And in verse 6, it's Judah's turn. And so, as it comes to Judah's turn, Caleb speaks up, and this is where we ought to be inspired by the spirit that is still in Caleb. So let's read, what does Caleb want? "Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear. But I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully. Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he has spoke these 45 years at the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So here's Caleb. What does he want? Caleb wants to fight giants. You know, here is this man, this seasoned warrior. He's outlived everyone except for Joshua. And now they're coming in on this momentous occasion. And Caleb steps forward to make a request. And what does he request? You know, give me part that's already conquered, right? Give me some beachfront property somewhere. It's time for me to retire. I'm entitled to it. And who would blame him, right? But yet, Caleb, who had fully trusted in the Lord in his youth, is still fully trusting in the Lord at 85 years old. And because of that, he's not going to settle. Instead, he's going to continue fighting. And I don't know if you hear this in these words, but it's as if Caleb has waited and prepared himself for this very moment. You know, 45 years is a long time. 45 years to wander in the wilderness when Caleb was ready to take the land, again, at a time where his strength would have been at its prime. But now, here he is saying, I'm still strong. I'm still ready for this challenge. I'm ready to fight, and the Lord will be with me. I'm ready to face the giants. Give me the fortified cities. You know, I'm going to take what the Lord promised me. Now, I understand that most of us might not ever have the strength that Caleb had. You know, whether we're in the fullness of our strength or whether we're towards the later in life. But listen, we need to have the strength of Caleb's spirit. You know, we need to have... We need to see how Caleb viewed himself and the opportunities before himself and the way that he was ready to be a worker and a valiant soldier for the Lord. And so maybe I'll never have the physical strength of Caleb. Maybe I will be encountered by limitations that keep me from being the exact type of person Caleb is. But the strength and drive of Caleb ought to be in every one of us. Caleb is ready to fight giants. He is not done. And all of this was an empowerment that he felt because he knew the Lord was with him. You know, the odds had not decreased in Caleb's life. You know, facing giants at 40, well, the Lord's with him. Facing giants at 85, well, the Lord's with him. You see, Caleb's age wasn't a detriment to him because he was still trusting in the same God. He had the same opportunity to do what he was unable to accomplish 45 years before because of the lack of faith in his fellow generation, among his fellow generation. And so this might be a good way to view the later years of life. My later years are the years God has given me to do what I was unable to do before. There's an older preacher who I was friends with his granddaughter, and I happened to pass through at the time where his family was celebrating his 70th birthday party. And I overheard him say, someone asked him, well, are you going to retire? Are you going to settle down? And he said, well, in 10 years... God's going to call me to lead the children out of Egypt. And I overheard that, and I kind of laughed on the inside of my head. And I thought, well, that's just being clever, you know. That was a good, clever comeback. Well, he was a preacher at a relatively large congregation. And about 4 or 5 years after that, he moved from the comforts of the South and labored for a number of years in New York City. In Brooklyn, And you know, life was not as easy there as it was in the South. And I saw the spirit of Caleb in that. I saw a person who understood that the Lord was with him. There were still great things that he can do, challenging things he can do, things that he had not had the opportunity to do before. And again, I want us to see our lives that way. There are great things I can do even if I feel past my prime. Caleb is an example of that. He is an example of, again, what I am calling ageless zeal. And I hope that we can see that can be us. We can have that same spirit. I'd like to talk a little bit about Caleb and the next generation. Caleb and the next generation. Well, what was the following generation like? Go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 1. Judges chapter 1. Caleb had the unfortunate position of growing old and seeing a very dark time dawning among the people of Israel. Caleb was old during a very dark time of history. In fact, reading through the book of Judges, there is probably not a darker time in history than the period of the Judges. You know, sometimes we might think things are pretty bad today, and there are a lot of ways in which they are, but read the book of Judges when even the very best people were often highly, highly flawed. The cream of the crop in the book of Judges does not rise very high. And in fact, one of the tragedies of the book of Judges is how rare the spirit of Caleb was. And so here at 85, Caleb is stepping up. He's ready to do the right thing among a generation that is failing everywhere you look. And now, as I pointed out, in Joshua 14:1, they were dividing up the nation, the inheritance among the tribes, and the job was each tribe was to go finish the job and completely clear out the land. Well, notice in Judges 1:21, we read, "But the sons of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites." He lived in Jerusalem. So the Jebusites have lived with the sons of Benjamin in Jerusalem to this day. In verse 27, "But Manasseh did not take possession of Beth Shean and its villages, or Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleam and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. So the Canaanites persisted in living in the land." And so here they are, Israel, given this instruction, go drive out the people and take possession of the land. And you look around and hardly anybody is doing what God had called them to do. And so that's sort of the situation, that's the setting that we find Caleb saying, "Give me this mountain, you know, give me the hill country, let me fight giants." You know, what Caleb is doing is he's showing a generation that is failing how to fight. He's showing them that there is work to do. "Give me this mountain, let me fight this battle. Let me do what God has called me to do. Let me take what God has promised to give me." And so, as Caleb reflected upon what God had said to him, even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, he is going to be committed to doing what he could do. And instead of despairing about what he was unable to do, he couldn't do Benjamin's job. You know, he couldn't do Manasseh's job. He couldn't do Zebulun's job. And again, just read on and see all the failures. What Caleb could do is what was in Caleb's realm of his world, and that's what he accomplished. There's a quote that I wanted to put on the board here that I've always thought was a neat quote, and I think this summarizes Caleb. "You know, I shall pass this way but once. Any good that I can do, or any kindness I can show to any human being, let me do it now. Let me not defer nor neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." And I believe that is a woman who was maybe a Quaker or some sort of group like that. But the sense of that quote Because you're here now. You have an opportunity now. You have a moment today to do the right thing. And with Caleb, Caleb said, I'm going to show the next generation how to fight. I'm going to leave an example for the generation to follow. They may or may not follow it. But they're going to have someone they can look to who is leading by example. And while I cannot fight the battles of the next generation for them, I can show them how to fight with what the Lord has granted me today. And so Caleb was going to show, this is how you trust in the promises of God. Caleb was going to show the next generation how to do all in the name of the Lord. And even though the generation that followed Caleb, well, even though things would get ugly, Caleb still served a God who would continue to be king. And so, show the next generation how to fight. And again, there might be things that you are rightly concerned about. But remember, God still rules. You know, David would still come to be king in Israel. Men like Elijah would come and be serve God as a prophet. Men like Nehemiah would help rebuild a broken wall. And the Messiah would still come. And so understand what you can do and what you can't do. And dedicate yourself to again, showing the next generation how to fight. We also see Caleb passing on his spirit in a wicked generation. A Caleb spirit, I believe, was passed on to a few. Judges 1:12, as Caleb is on his conquest, he makes a promise. And Caleb said, the one who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will even give him my daughter Aksah for a wife. All right, so here's Caleb. So Caleb is fighting giants among a generation of people who are unwilling to fight the battles God has called them to fight. And so here's Caleb's idea. You know, I have the right to give my daughter in marriage. Whenever you talk about arranged marriages, those are always a little bit uncomfortable to us, but it was part of their society. So it's awkward from our standpoint, but in their culture, this was a natural thing to do. But Caleb is offering an arrangement to one who has the same drive and spirit as Caleb does himself. Okay, that was probably hard to find. But now there's a man who steps up in verse 13. His name is Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And he captured it, and so he was given his daughter Aksah for a wife. And so here's what Caleb did. He ensured that his daughter would marry a man who had the same heart that he had. He influenced his children. And in doing so, influenced his grandchildren. And so as he fought his own battle, he passed his spirit on to a wicked generation. And if you read verses 14 and 15, what I think you see is his daughter had the same spirit and zeal that Caleb had. Then it came about when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. Then she alighted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want? And she said to him, give me a blessing since you have given me the land of the Negev. Give me also the springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And so what you see in the daughter of Caleb is a hunger for the blessings of God. And she gets off her donkey, and that's a sign of respect. You read about Rebekah doing that in Genesis 24, verse 64. She asks Caleb, and Caleb gladly gives it to his daughter, his kindred spirit. And of course, Othniel is the first judge. He is the first judge of Israel. Again, a very dark time, but Othniel had the spirit of the Lord upon him. Judges 3:10. And Othniel will continue to fight battles. And so again, Caleb, he couldn't save everybody. He could not stop the tide of wickedness that was coming in among the children of Israel, where every man did what was right in his own eyes. But Caleb would influence his corner, and he would allow the Lord to take care of the rest. And that's all we can do. And that's valuable, and that's needed. So I don't know what your thinking is for the next generation. I imagine there are a lot of fears. And so what should you do? You need to fight your battles. You need to fight your battles and pass on what you're able to pass on. Well, thank you so much for your attention this morning. I hope we've all been encouraged as we've thought about the topic of zeal. Zeal does not belong simply to the youth. It belongs to anyone who would place their trust in God and be ready to, in trusting the Lord, find the opportunities that have been left undone in their life and conquer giants. Face the giants. Give me this mountain. And I hope that again, if you would put yourself in the young category, that you are preparing to age as Caleb aged. And I hope that if you would put yourself in the older category, that you recognize the value that you have in the kingdom of God today. We need you continuing to fight the good fight of faith. And we appreciate you for it. We see it, we watch it, and we are encouraged by those efforts. Thank you so much for your attention. If you are not a Christian this morning, we'd like to take our songbooks at this time and open them to number 359, the song Victory in Jesus. And we want to encourage you, if you have not yet put on Christ in baptism, to take the steps that are necessary to have your sins washed away. Clothe yourself with Christ. Die with Christ in baptism so you can be risen to walk in newness of life. And if you are ready to share in Jesus' victory over the devil, in his victory over sin, we would be delighted to baptize you into Christ Jesus.